Now, before the next program, here's an important statement about cloning. In a lecture 2 years ago, Lord Rothschild predicted that carbon copy humans are a scientific possibility and said that scientists could bequeath the world 1,000 identical twins of Harold Wilson. We asked Sir Harold what he thought.
Oh, what a lot of utter nonsense. It couldn't be done.
Poppycock.
It couldn't possibly be done.
Oh, what a lot of rubbish.
It is a lot of rubbish.
It couldn't be done.
I don't
know. Here with the very latest news is the News Hotline, starring Roy Hodge with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Rick Burley Quartet.
Thank you very much, folks. You see, with all this genetic engineering, scientific discovery isn't always a good idea, is it, eh? Like these babies born in test tubes, eh? It's all right for the babies, hell of a squash for the mums, isn't it, really? And then they say, tubes make you breed more easily. Of course, this week started off with Mother's Day. Now, how many of you mothers got flowers, eh? How many? Oh, I see, there's a fella got his hand up there, isn't he? I gave my wife a bunch, yes. And she got breakfast in bed as well. It was a heck of a job getting the cooker up to the bedroom, but she managed it. No, actually, I'm telling you a lie. Actually, I gave her a mink outfit. A trapper, ferret and a gun. It just shows that it's been a quiet week on the political front, isn't it, eh? All the papers can find to make a fuss about is this bloke who set a baked bean eating record. You see that? Is it? Over 2,000 beans he ate in 30 minutes and on a cocktail stick. And that was front page news, eh? Honestly, front page, you remember the headlines? Wind scale report causes storm. But Parliament seems to have gone quiet this week, doesn't it, eh? I know why, though. They've gone into rehearsals for when Parliament goes on the radio next month. Honestly. Magnus Magnusson, he's helping him out making Prime Minister's Question Time like Mastermind. On the trial run, Jim Callaghan only passed on 2 questions, yeah. His name and his occupation. Then there's that Ku Klux Klansman. Did you read about him? David Duke in the news. He slipped into the country without being recognised. But a customs man can't be blamed for not recognising him. He was wearing a white hood over his head, wasn't he? Yeah, yes. Then there's these Russian astronauts setting the space endurance record in Soyuz capsule. Can you imagine them being stuck up there all them months, eh? Of course, they go out for a spacewalk now and again, you know. When one's finished his walk, he knocks on the door and the capsule, and the other one says, yes, who is it? And I see Russia's given the United States some meat, which they reckon must be 44,000 years old. It just shows how things haven't changed. When they tried to open the tin, a little key broke off. And there's not much industrial news either, is there? Not much industrial news. Well, nobody's working, huh? But on the industrial pages is the news of electric power reductions in the London area. You read that? I wouldn't have known anything about it, except I was down at Wembley Stadium and noticed the electric hare came in third. Do you see that Andy Williams is in London this week? He's confessed he wears pink boxer shorts. Yes, pink boxer shorts. So somewhere in America there's an angry pink boxer walking about with no knickers on. And of course the underwear news here, you'll know all about this, girls, the underwear news here is that knicker elastic from now on will be measured in centimetres instead of inches. Won't affect my mother-in-law, though. No, not so long as we keep the mile anyway, you know. What about that? That's my favourite front page today, wasn't it, eh? Birth pills for men. Eh? Birth pills for men. They're asking for volunteers to try it, you know. They say it's all very convenient and easy. All you do is take one pill before you go to bed and another on the way home. And finally, did you see the story about the man who's got 5 daughters and this week he had his first son? Eh? Did you read that? He was so pleased about it, wasn't he? He wrote, "It's a boy," in big white letters on his roof. You see that picture? Good, wasn't it? They asked him whether it looked like his mum or his dad. And he said, "I don't know. I haven't looked at his face yet."
And now, here is the Hudlines Open Wine.
Can we have the first caller, please?
Hello. Look, I'm sick to death with it. All last week it was Ilford this, Ilford that, Ilford in the papers, Ilford on the telly, Ilford everywhere.
Who is this calling?
Mr. Kodak.
Next caller, please.
Hume here.
Hello, Lord Hume.
Hello. I'm delighted my Rhodesian settlement is working so well.
Your Rhodesian settlement is not yours.
It must be. I saw Smith on the telly addressing the blacks and singing, "Hume made me love you, I didn't love you."
Right, next caller, please.
Hello, Dennis Healy here.
Ah.
I was fascinated by the Reverend Tony Smith working out that his wife's actual weight in gold was £172,000 worth. So I thought I'd do the same for Edna.
And how much is she worth?
Well, I'd rather not say, but it's another job for the International Monetary Fund.
Next caller, please.
Hello. I've been reading this survey in the newspapers which says that the national average size of women today is thinner than in 1957. Well, they obviously haven't taken my wife into consideration. Her measurements are 34, 25 and a half, 36 and three quarters.
But that is the national average.
You mean everyone's got legs like that?
Next caller, please.
Hello. Head of Rolls-Royce Design Department here.
Ah.
We're a little concerned about this new law that comes in on the 1st of April, whereby manufacturers have to display how much the car does to the gallon.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, we're not quite sure how to spell vroom, vroom, vroom.
Next caller, please.
Hello, Sir Frank McFadzean, Chairman of British Airways here. About these cracks in Concorde's wings. Now, there's no need to worry about them anymore.
Really?
Yes, they've dropped right off.
Next caller, please.
Hello. Here. I'm the bloke who keeps getting another bloke in trouble by giving the coppers his name and address when I'm arrested. Well, I'd like to say how sorry I am, and that I'm not going to do it anymore.
Oh, well, that's fine, Mr.
Macmillan. Harold Macmillan.
Next caller, please.
Hello. I'm the fella who drinks 42 cups of tea a day. I've just finished my 42nd cup, actually.
Really? Tell me, do you strain it beforehand?
No, but... Never beforehand, but I'm certainly straining it now.
Well, it's the French election Sunday, and it could go either way, as my tailor said to me only on Monday. But... but the result of the French election is very important because France has a completely different system of government from ours. Their government actually rules the country. But the interesting feature of French politics is the number of weird, crank parties contesting the election. What can we learn from the French multi-party system?
From Paris to Lille to Marseille, it will soon be the French polling day. And with so many parties in all different parts, it gives the French voter the blanchest of cards. But in England you don't get much joy.
Not much joy, so not getting your will is your vote.
Stop, it's the devil you know.
Or else it's the devil you doubt. Ha! I say, which party is Pretty Bado standing for this time?
The Popular Front.
Our party's for free wine and cheese.
I say, hands up, man, nice honey.
There's an apathy party in Brie and Boulogne,
which millions of folk can't be bothered to join.
There's a party for 6 months of massage,
and one that thinks wine sales should be swivel a piece,
and a party campaigning for wine men and song. And that's Gay Paris for you.
Tell
me, Jim, why do so many French politicians eat garlic these days?
Oh, that's to widen their circle of friends. Stop!
Now you on your liberal front bench could learn from a nice bit of French. Proportional representation sure beats your system, as Tyrol would get 20 seats. But in Britain, your choices are few. There are no not enough parties for moi.
Say, here's all the me for my je ne sais quoi.
Au chef de la femme, et bonsoir.
Now, how's this for a technological advancement? A vicar in Fleetwood has installed a telephone in his pulpit so that he can take requests for hymns and prayers during the sermon. But surely a telephone in the pulpit is the last thing you want in a church.
Friends, we are gathered here today at the altar to join these two people in the happy bonds of matrimony.
Marriage between man and woman is always an occasion for joy. And as the bells of the soul peal out that... Excuse me.
Hello?
Hello, my son.
Oh, it's you, Dad. Is my mother in?
I'm afraid you've got the wrong number. Marriage between man and woman is always an occasion for joy. And as the bells of the soul ring out that... Oh. Excuse me.
When are you coming to see to my gas cooker? Are you there? I've waited in all morning.
No, listen, you're interrupting a very important ceremony.
All right, I'll ring back after the tea break then.
The excitement of marriage for me will always bring. Hello. I told you never to ring me at work, darling. Sorry about that, sir. We'll go on to the next part. If anyone present knows any reason why these two should not be joined in matrimony, let him speak now or forever hold his peace. Oh, God. Hello!
Hello, sir. This is the DPO engineer here. Is your phone working all right, sir?
It never stops. It just rings and rings and rings. I'm trying to conduct a ceremony and it's driving me mad. There's a baby in there waiting to be christened and it started shaving already.
Dear, well, I'm sorry, sir. Would you like us to cut it off for you?
No, he's managing quite well on that. I see you. Yes. Yes, please. Disconnect the phone. Pull the wires out, anything, but please stop it ringing.
Oh, don't worry, sir. I'll do that.
Then, if there are no objections, could I have the ring, please? Hello?
I'm glad it's you, sir.
What do you want now?
I was just checking that it was your phone we disconnected, sir.
Well, my favourite story this week is one about the joke-telling doctor who keeps his patients in stitches while he puts them in stitches. Now, I know how he feels. I know having all those people coming to his surgery to hear his jokes. Lots of people come to my show to be ill. Much thank you. All right, don't take a vote on it. Mind you, a healing minister of mirth could get a bit carried away, couldn't it?
Doctor, doctor, can you help me out?
With a dress like that, you look like you're already on your way out. I want you to get undressed at once. Right, just as I thought, racing pulse, shortness of breath, hot flushes.
What's the verdict?
You're all right, but I'm going to have a heart attack.
Hey, doctor, doctor, my face is all yellow. Is it jaundice?
No, it's a custard pie. My reception's got a sense of humour.
Doctor, doctor, I've got tonsils as big as softballs. What do you suggest?
A 5-iron.
Hey, doctor, what should I do? My nose keeps running all day.
Whatever you do, try and keep up with it.
Doctor, doctor, I've got this awful chest.
You leave the opinions to me, Mrs. All right? I'm going to make sure you go to bed with something hot, warm and soothing.
Is it a prescription?
No, it's my phone number, isn't it?
Doctor, doctor, doctor! How would you get rid of acne?
Knock it down with a bulldozer, isn't it?
Doctor. Doctor, I'm terribly worried. I think I'm a hypochondriac.
Don't be ridiculous. You're not a hypochondriac. You're seriously ill and you're going to die.
Oh, that's a relief.
No!
What do you recommend?
Take a few weeks off and try and unwind.
Hey, doctor, what are the results of my test?
Lie down the couch. Now, tell me if it hurts. Oh, come on, yes or no, don't mess me about.
Oh, look, can you give me something to take my mind off the pain?
Certainly is my bill. Hey!
Doctor, I feel a bit strange.
Oh, see, tell me, do you ever wear women's underwear?
No, no, but I've come out in sports.
Oh, so you wear dog's underwear, eh? I don't know what came over me, really. I'm awful sorry.
Right.
Now, please, all of you, now, take a seat.
Right, right.
You all fell for the whoopee cushion gag. Well, no doubt you've all heard of the Iron Age settlement, where people are living in Iron Age conditions to find out how our forefathers managed before the dawn of civilization. Where better for today's politicians to get ready for the future than by living in the past?
Well, I must say this Iron Age lifestyle is certainly very relaxing. It's almost an idyllic life. Just look at all those cute little beasts of burden bleating in the fence.
Do you mind, Callahan? That's us liberals wearing sheepskin jackets.
Oh, my word, yes. Oh, look at that enormous sheepskin Cyril's wearing.
No, no, he's not wearing a sheepskin. We're letting all the sheep graze on him.
Now then, how are we off for transport?
Well, we've got an old wagon made out of decaying wood and bits of unsculpted flint over there, you see?
Now look, whoever brought that British Leyland car into the compound can push it straight out again. Hello, is that Dennis running towards us?
Yes, it is. I've not seen him so excited since he added up Rod Stewart's tax bill.
I've done it. I've invented something that's going to prove a fantastic boon to mankind. Look, look, it's made out of stone. It's about 3 feet across and it's perfectly round. This will save us hours of sweat and agony.
Well, how does it work?
Oh, simple. You just slam it in Ian Paisley's mouth. He can't say a dicky bird.
I have one!
See, it works. What's more, if you turn him on his side, you can roll him down the hill. Look.
Pray for me, my
God. Oh, it all seems a long way from Westminster, doesn't it, eh? Do you remember when we all used to worry that soon the pound wouldn't be worth a carat? Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore, do we?
No, that's right.
Oh, that reminds me. Have you got change for a turnip? Oh, no. Look who's here now. It's that rogue saber-tooth that's been carrying off all our poultry.
Good evening.
That nettle soup you made yesterday didn't agree with me.
Well, who does?
I was... wondering if you could suggest an antidote.
Yes, dockleed.
Well, how do you recognize dockleed?
Easy. You'll find them just lying around doing nothing. Oh, dear, shovel farmers.
Well, I must say, I'm most impressed by the way everyone's been pulling their weight.
Here, here. Ted Heath's been working like a beaver.
Really?
Yes, he's been chopping trees down with his teeth.
Now, how are our crops doing? Mind you, Harry Neave's been a bit of a flop in charge of the harvest.
Well, I'm not surprised. He's had no experience producing corn.
Oh, so he doesn't write your speeches, then? You walk right into that, Maggie.
Oh, so I have.
Listen, I've got an urgent message. It says they need some help to make the woad white.
The woad? What are you talking about? Woad's not white. Woad's meant to be blue. Let's have a look. Listen. They need some help to make the road right. That's the last time I put Roy Jenkins in charge of anything.
Tell me, James, do you think all people in this country should experience this lifestyle? The damp mud huts, the sparse coarse food, the primitive squalor.
Oh, no, Maggie. After living in these sort of conditions, they'd never be able to adjust back to living in the 20th century.
You think not?
No, they'd have been spoilt by all this luxury.
Well, it's almost the end of the show, folks, but there's a bit of stop press news to get through. One or two extra stories that have just come in. How about this one? The story about the escaped hippo, which has been settling down on the side of the motorway in America. Did you read that? The latest is that he strayed onto the road and caused a multiple pile-up. This is where there weren't any cars about, really, wasn't it? But anyway. And what about that bloke who smelt burning, opened his car bonnet and found that his fan belt had given the cat a shave? What's a cat doing in there? Can you imagine a cat in your engine? Sitting there staring down at the road as the car goes over the cat's eyes saying, "Hello, Fred. Hello, Mavis. Hello, Fred." Oh, what about this? The story of the baby who's just been christened Tom, Dick and Harry. You read that? Poor little soul. I know how he feels. If my dad messed it up with my names, he called me after the whole Queen's Park Rangers football team. Yeah. You didn't know my middle name was rubbish, did you? But I also like the story about the dinosaurs. Did you see it? Apparently, they now say that dinosaurs are extinct because they died of constipation. Yeah. It doesn't tell us much about dinosaurs, but we now know why early man stayed up in the trees for so long, don't we, really? It's amazing what the scientists come up with, eh? This week they're on about body scanning and how the features on your body tell you what sort of a personality you are. I couldn't believe that. Apparently a mole on your chin means you'll be rich. Mole on your thigh means you'll be lucky. And the mole on your backside means you've been sitting in the grass for too long, you know. But my favourite of the week was a story about the old man who had a hearing aid fitted 20 years ago and they've just found out they put it in the wrong ear. Did you read it? Pardon? Can you beat it? I ask you, the wrong ear. But he's a good sport, though, and he thought it was very funny. Yeah, he took it as a big joke. In fact, he laughed so much, the monocle fell out of his glass eye. But of course, always good for a laugh is this farce in Rhodesia, isn't it? Hey, Smith, Muzzarewa and Sit Holy, what a team. They're turning into a right old song and dance act, really, aren't they? In fact, a sort of black and white ministerial show.
Now we have a free man, let's all forget the past.
We meet,
and Mozarewa,
and Sit Holy friends at last.
Yes, we'll all hold hands at last, and rule with the ears with.
Cause underneath we're in now.
So, what if I'm...
I'll settle for a handshake, as I don't want your germ.
But even so, I'm thinking, we should be on first name terms.
Oh, very well then.
Here, call me under my name, for I would have it so.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Abel.
Yes, with all those kids we know.
Come from full away, oh, with my walking stick in hand. I wore my travel costume, and I sure was looking grand. I lived a dash of colour in blue
head and go to seem to wear. Do down, do down,
bend and smiling, teeth like pearls.
Do down, do down.
But I've never seen so many girls and doodahs in one day. But a way that they behave.
But in every other country, it's their hands which crowd should wave.
Ha, 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 he, he. Little black mugs, there was full beat. This black and white duck sure to see. Ha, 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 he, he. When you signed those papers, you should have checked that I signed too. You fell into my trap, all right. Your ink was black, but mine was white.
Starring Roy Hart with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Burley Quartet. The script was written by Peter Spence, Andy Hamilton, and Laurie Rowley. Additional lines by John Cormack, Stephen Jacobs, Willie Wyatt, Colin Gilbert, Philip Campbell, Myron Edwards, Keith Rawnsley, Peter Long, Ray Binns, Ian Tyler, Rex McDonald, John Walker, and Kenneth Ross.
And a million other identical copies of our producer,
John Noyes.